We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The ultimate football team. The ultimate football show. Welcome to the Fantasy Football Hour on Sports Radio WEEI. The most comprehensive, in-depth presentation anywhere concerning fantasy football. The Fantasy Football Hour is brought to you by Anderson Windows and your local Anderson Window dealer, by Moxie Soda, by Gould's Distinctive Clothing, and by Atlantic Power Cleaning. The fun and games starts now.
Welcome to the jungle. We've got fun and games.
Here's Jim Hackett and Pete Davidson.
All right, good morning, Fantasy Footballers. Jim Hackett, Pete Davidson, Week 5, Fantasy Football Hour here at WEEI. I'm starting fast, Pete. How you doing?
What do you mean you're starting fast?
I'm starting fast. I didn't let the music roll. I just popped right
into
it.
Okay.
Yeah, we're getting into it.
I thought you meant you, like, drank more coffee.
I did, yeah.
That too.
I'm feeling like Kramer after, like, the 40 lattes a little bit.
How many cups today?
I'm deep into the second one, so.
Okay.
A lot for me. Anyway, so
I like our audience too much for me to have more than one.
The texts are coming in at 37937. We're going to hit your lineup questions. I do want to just hit news around the league. We're getting to that point where there's a lot of it. You know what I mean? There's
it's crazy.
But the good news is a lot of the news is actually favorable. A lot of the guys who have been questionable look like they're expected to play.
Yeah, this is a tough week though because all the bad stuff
is late.
It's these 8 o'clock games. So
it's unbelievable.
Some people are really going to be in a bind, and sadly, you and I aren't really going to be able to help.
We've got 10 1 o'clock games, and most of the news is from 4 to Monday night. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, we have to hope that some of this Sunday and Monday stuff breaks in time for people to maybe make some lineup decisions. But, you know, we're not in control of that, unfortunately.
Yeah. So
go ahead, sorry.
I was going to say, I'll give you what I can, you know, at the top. And then what we're going to do is we're going to do some news. We've got actually a good article, the article that never was, that Pete put up. It's going to go up. I'm confident in my friend Rob Bradford.
When you read it, just understand it was written yesterday. When I talk about tuning into the Fantasy Football Hour tomorrow, it doesn't mean Monday morning.
Right. And but it's Patriot-centric, which is fun for daily purposes. And then we're going to get to our locks of the week, and then the text throughout the show.
Yeah.
All right. So you're going to hit something before I hit the news?
No. Go through the news. I was just going to say that it's just such a weird – the whole state of the NFL right now is just bizarre. Mm. I mean, it really is. If you look at this slate, Jim, these games, there's so many of them that are broken.
Yeah.
Like, you know how you go through a normal slate and there's usually one game that Vegas doesn't want to put a spread on? There's a quarterback they don't know about or something like that. That's like
5%
of the slate.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, if you look at one of the best games on the slate for me is Arizona Bengals, and that game's all messed up.
Yeah.
You know?
And the Bengals don't have any – I mean, you know, they're down John Ross, A.J. Green, obviously, right?
Right. Look at – I mean, you go down the slate, Bears missing a quarterback. And then you go to the next game, you know, Bucks-Saints missing a quarterback. You go to Minnesota, the Giants. Both of those teams are a little messed up. Giants on a new quarterback.
Yeah.
Next game is Jets playing without their quarterback.
Jags-Panthers.
Next game, Jags, is Steelers Ravens. And the Steelers don't have Roethlisberger.
Right.
And we go down to Patriots, Washington. Total quarterback disaster on one side of the field.
You think?
Jaguars, Carolina, both starting quarterbacks are out. I mean, it just keeps going. You know, Indianapolis on their backup quarterback.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's all over the league, and it's turning a lot of these games into these sort of ugh fests where there's one team that's just sort of in triage mode, if you will.
It also impacts the pass catchers because, like, you know, what you once knew, Juju Smith-Schuster was an absolute lock. Not
the
so much
ripple
anymore.
The ripple effect
Huge.
In some of these passing games. That's what I mean by the games being broken. The quarterbacks are usually the missing component, but it breaks the game, at least from a predictable standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, the guys.
And oftentimes from a, you know, like, we want to enjoy football and we're watching all this bad quarterbacking. It's annoying.
The funny thing is, if you were in a draft and you had a league, or you were the guy who maybe went early on Mahomes or something like that, you're probably winning because so many people are down.
I mean, I'm really glad that because I was pretty stubborn this summer about quarterback drafting. Luckily, towards the end, I said, all right, take him in the third. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead and take him in the third.
Right.
I'm really glad I bent on that because I'd look stupid if I
know.
Hadn't.
I know. So
but
I,
you're right. I mean,
it has an impact for sure.
This is a year. It's odd. But if you just took a quarterback who didn't get hurt, you're probably in pretty
good
shape.
You're probably okay, yeah. But I mean, there's so many that, got, that
right.
have gone down. And
well,
some
see,
that
that's
weren't playing
that's
well.
That's the thing. There's so many that have gone down that the streaming market is all of these backup quarterbacks
right.
now. So when you have to go to the reserve pool, it's just this big pool of ugly.
Yeah, and so when we just knocked down a trade in the league that we're in. So it's like, you know, normally I wouldn't want to move like a good starting receiver
right.
you know, for a quarterback, but I kind of feel good about it because you need the quarterback because there's so few out there, you know?
Right, yeah, you had sort of... You cobbled together about half of those quarterbacks we're talking about.
I was just
Jim's bench looked like the island of misfit toys or something.
It sure was. All right,
it's not your fault. I mean, you know,
no,
you had Cam or something.
I
right?
Newton, yeah,
yeah
and,
so
that's and Trubisky.
So many people are in that situation, either a quarterback or another position. It's a tough year. It really is.
Yeah. All right, so let's help people out. So we've got the outs, according to Adam Schefter, the ones that we know. In that Bears-Oakland game, Trubisky, you know, he's long gone. Taylor Gabriel will not play. Pat's game, Rex Burkhead will not be playing, which is too bad.
We'll get into that for sure.
Yeah, I thought it was a Rex game. If I had known that
when I wrote the article, I might have just...
Put Sony in there?
Well, I might have put a little 5% spin on my takeaway, but it's okay.
Yeah, so no Rex, and then on the other side of the field, you've got no Jordan Reed and no Vernon Davis, so they've got no... You think the Patriots have no tight ends. The Redskins really have no tight ends. They've got some guy named Jeremy Sprinkle. I don't even know who he is.
The Redskins are sort of like the Trump administration. We don't know what people's motivations are. Gruden is like that guy trying to get fired.
I think Gruden's gone Monday.
Yeah, no, but he like wants out, but he doesn't want to quit kind of thing.
It
probably has something to do with like severance.
It might. It's a really weird situation.
Well, you've got that thing like you said it on the podcast, right? Like we have no plan. Like that's
He said that. That's a
now,
quote.
Look, in context, we actually sort of get what he's saying, but you don't say that when you're a
head
coach.
That was a. I mean, look, you don't need a bad look to get fired in Washington, okay? But to add to it, I mean, that was just raining, lighter fluid onto the fire. I mean, that was
stupid.
I don't
know if you saw it on Twitter, but there's also this video going around of him being caught chain smoking
outside
of a club,
yeah, picking up 20-year-old girls.
Right.
Like
I mean, the only way that's worth, you know, if he's smoking something that doesn't look like a Marlboro. But
I think he might have been.
So yeah, I mean this, and it's that whole organization is such a dumpster fire.
That's you know, from the
it's,
top.
It's un. Real, how bad it's getting there.
I know you're a Knicks guy, but they might, and you know, no offense to Dolan, but they might have the worst owner in sports. It's not. He might be number one in all the four majors in sports.
You get to a point where it's sort of like can't really get any worse, and I think Dolan and Snyder, yeah, are both in that category.
Yeah, they're it's a race to the toilet between
because
those
they're
two
like
guys.
Aggressively bad.
Yeah,
it's not like Woody Johnson on the Jets where he's just sort of asleep at the wheel and not real quick on the uptake. You know, sort of a silver spooner who. Never really did anything on his own.
These guys
are aggressively bad.
I heard or saw a great quote about Snyder the other day. I can't remember where I got it, but it was Daniel Snyder acts like how a kid would view a rich person. You know what I mean? Like an 8-year-old, but acting.
He's been rich for a long time now. I mean, the thing about Snyder is he just, well, you know what.
Let's forget him.
He's just awful.
Talk in the car about him. All right.
Yes.
Let's get to who's in and who's out. So Trubisky,
yes.
Gabriel against the Oakland, out. Rex, out. Reed and VD at out against the Pats, and they weren't going to do anything anyway. Sam Darnold looks like he's going to come back in a week, at least, but he's out against the Eagles, which is probably smart. And then similarly, Saquon's out against the Vikes, which I think is very smart, and they've got a Thursday night against the Pats. So if he's going to surface, you maybe surface him against New England. I don't know, but he's definitely not playing this week. But it was good to see him working
out.
You
know what I love about it, and this is where the media is just so lame sometimes. They just want to write an article so bad they'll write it about anything.
Yep.
But like I'm seeing the Saquon is Superman articles now. Like how could he come back from this injury? Well, first of all, he's not back yet. Second of all, the injury was low diagnosed. I mean, it obviously wasn't as bad as they said.
Right.
But no, let's write the articles about how this guy's Superman. It's so stupid. I don't know if you watched the end of that game where he got hurt, but at the end of the game when the Giants won in the last second.
It's against the Redskins a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, he ran across the field.
Yeah, I know.
Now he's on the walking boot, but if you've got a major 8-week deal, you're not bounding across the field in your walking boot. So, I mean, that injury was not major from the beginning. So let's not backfill here and create some, you know, incredible comeback. What we had is an injury that wasn't as serious as it was initially diagnosed.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. All right, the text coming at 37937. We're going to hit him.
Sorry, rant over.
That's okay. Let me walk through this again with the Patskins. We've got a lot to talk about there. No Ben Watson. A little unsurprising, but not too surprising based on what he did and didn't do in practice this week. On the other side of the field, Terry McLaurin, who's been a revelation, a rookie for the Skins, the one guy who's really playing well, he's a pregame warm-up. They're optimistic about him. A guy I wouldn't play, who I own, but he's looking, it's opportunistic, quote-unquote, from Adam Schefter.
Yeah, my guy McLaurin's looking good.
He's looking real good. The Bills and the Titans.
But you're right. Don't play him this week.
Yeah, like, I mean,
even if he's healthy.
Yeah, I just wouldn't play any Redskins.
Everything about this for McLaurin is bad.
Yeah.
His quarterback's bad. The defense knows that he's the guy. Patriots like to take out the top guy, and he's not healthy. There's just so many reasons.
And
to
he's
avoid
got Gilmore him. If he plays.
Right.
Yeah. So, okay, Bills at the Titans. You got Devin Singletary. That's a pregame warm-up situation, right. All right? So look at your 11:30 inactives. The quarterback, Josh Allen, is out of concussion protocol, so he looks like a go in a tough matchup against the Titans. So if you can do better there, I'd recommend that. Ravens at the Steelers. Juju is a game-time decision with the toe. Does he have turf toe?
It sounds like it. Yeah. Also sounds like he's going to play, but
yeah,
keep your head on a swivel.
Yeah, and that's a tough one. You know what I mean? That's a tough one for Juju against the Ravens. But you, if you have him,
well, their secondary's banged up. He should be. I mean, his quarterback's a problem. For
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. Let's see.
It's weird. You know, I don't know why they don't. Well, I don't know. Okay. We don't see him practice, but it would be nice if they let Rudolph throw down the field. It's the one thing he was good at in college.
Yeah, he can throw it down the field, and he hit Deontay Johnson a couple of weeks ago on Monday night. Did he not?
Yeah, that was a crosser.
I'm
just saying. I'm sure that they have their reasons. It's just frustrating because the one thing the guy did well in college was throw the deep ball.
Yeah, they're limiting him on that a little bit. Yeah. Falcons and the Texans. Kenny Stills has a hammy and an ankle, and he's unlikely. Right. So that seems like might Will Fuller wake up this week. And you also got Kiki Kuti.
Yeah, Kuti's the big thing. Yep. Kuti is now like a viable flex if you needed him.
Yep, so you can get him in because it's
right.
looking...
Assuming Stills stays out.
Yeah, and I got this early. I got it about an hour ago, but it says unlikely. When it's unlikely early, it's usually a good sign that he won't play.
That's a shift from questionable, so that's...
Yeah.
Air quote, good.
And this is the funny thing, Pete. Like, then you go through all the 1 o'clocks, and there's like really almost nothing. And we get to, as we said, there's 2 4 o'clock games and 2 8 o'clock games. And that's where all the...
2 4 o'clock games. Hey, NFL, way to go.
Yeah.
Nice work.
That's the one... I mean, that's the
bunch
time
of jokers.
That's the time I like to settle in. You know what I mean? Is like the 4
yeah,
o'clock.
We were talking about this in the pod.
Hey,
like,
get your stuff done, you know, rake some leaves, go out with the family, and then you settle in for 4 o'clock, you know, but they're not going to give it to us.
Typical NFL, they're telling you what you're supposed to watch. You're supposed to want to watch Green Bay and Dallas. Like, that's the one. Basically, that's what they're telling us. This is the game you want to watch.
Because Broncos-Chargers isn't very interesting.
Maybe I'm sick of watching Dallas, okay?
Yeah.
You know?
Or Green Bay. I mean, you can see Rodgers
every
week.
Absolutely. We said this on the podcast. Yeah. I feel like I'm a Green Bay fan. I've watched Rodgers so many times.
Yep. All right. So, in those games, by the way, you've got Mike Williams. Looks like he's coming back for the Chargers. He's got a back, but he's expected. That's good news.
Him just being on the field helps, for sure.
They had no... We talked about it last Sunday.
It's unreal.
They've gone
through this like 3 out of the last 6 years, Jim. Where guys just keep going down. I don't know what it is about the Chargers.
He's got a bad trainer, apparently, but Dontrell
bad
Inman.
Bad karma, bad something.
Dontrell Inman was like a scrap heap guy. He was their number one receiver last
year. IR.
Yeah, and he's on IR too.
I'm sorry, it's not funny.
It's factual.
Yeah.
So the Fox game of the week is the Packers at the Cowboys. You've got Michael Gallup, looks like he's coming back just a few weeks removed from surgery, so that's good news.
He looked incredible before he went down.
Yeah, he was really off to a fast start. He was a guy I had my eye on all my drafts, and I didn't get any shares of him. It's just the way that kind of the boards went, you know, against me. But he's back, and they'll probably be a little bit limited today because it is knee surgery from a few weeks ago. But he's playing, it looks like, so that's good news there. And on the other side of the field, Davante Adams and Jamal Williams both out. So looks like an MVS and Geronimo Allison and an Aaron Jones game for those guys. So that's where I would play.
Right.
Maybe Jimmy Graham if you need him. And then at 8 o'clock...
Well, Graham's definitely going to be targeted. I mean...
Yeah.
He's getting a heavy target. He looks washed. He looks like a corpse out there, but, you know...
But Rodgers is looking at him.
Rodgers has shown a willingness to throw to him when he's covered, which is, you know...
Yeah.
He's so unexciting in terms of a play, and I don't want to play him, but I'm looking at him on DraftKings going, man, he's... You don't want to do it, but...
What's
it's
his?
It's such an ugly week at tight end.
I don't want to spend too much time on him, but what's his? I'm just curious what he's firing up at for a price.
I don't even know. Yeah, off the top of my head, I can't. Well, actually, I do. It's $4,300, but I don't want to do it, and I'm not gonna do it. But just the fact that I have to think about it makes me
sort of
annoyed.
Yeah,
like I don't want Jimmy Graham in my thought process. I'm probably gonna just pay up another $200 for Austin Hooper.
There you go. And then on the other side of the field, the 8 o'clock game tonight, the Colts Chiefs, which is a kind of a fun one. A lot of news. It's pretty good. T.Y. Hilton looks like he's ready to go with that quad he's been nursing for a while.
Right. And the thing with Hilton, if you're a Hilton owner, sorry to cut you off, Jim, but if you're a Hilton owner, now we have good news. Push the envelope is probably the way to go. And then if something goes wrong, as long as your league allows pickups, a guy like Pascal is probably sitting out.
Yeah.
So if Hilton were deactivated, Campbell's already out, Pascal would be a pretty good play in a high snap game like this.
That's the guy you want is Paris Campbell, but he's not playing. But Paris Campbell's the guy you want, but he's not playing. You know what I mean?
Well, Campbell would be nice, but with Campbell, and, again, we're working a scenario where Hilton's been ruled out and Campbell's already out. At that point, Pascal's a pretty good play.
Yeah. So, but
and he's probably available is the point.
So it's 8:20. You know what I mean? But T.Y. is expected, so that's good. And then unfortunately, at running back, Marlon Mack ankles. It looks like a game time decision. You might get more clarity.
That's
later.
A tough one. I mean, he feels like maybe he won't go, and if he doesn't. Same kind of thing. Know your league's logistics. If you're allowed to make pickups, it's quite, look at who's available. If Nyan Hines and Wilkins, Jordan Wilkins are both sitting out there, then you have a place to go.
Yep.
You can push the envelope, keep Mack there. If he gets deactivated, pick up one of the other two guys. I would go with Wilkins first, Hines second, and you're okay.
Yeah. Hines is more of the passing down guy. I get a feeling that Wilkins will get more of the,
and Wilkins is a pretty good receiver too, so he can pick you up some catches on early downs. It's a coin flip as to which one will get more juice. I'm with you. I'm just guessing Wilkins. But in a game like this where it's going to be, there are a lot of points scored in this game, I think. I would rather, again, if your league allows it, I would rather wait and roster the guy taking his place.
Yeah.
Then
not play
early
in that game,
right? And play like a weak flex option.
Yeah, because that's a big potential point scoring game. Colts at the Chiefs,
so
you want in on that game,
right?
Lots of good questions coming at 3793.7, which I'm going to hit soon. On the Chiefs side, looks like Sammy's going to play. Sammy Watkins has had a shoulder thing; he's expected, and Damian Williams might come back after a couple weeks.
More injury report. BS.
Muckety muck.
Yeah, I mean, you've got Damian Williams practicing full all week, and then Friday he's questionable.
Yeah.
You've got Watkins practicing all week, and then all of a sudden Friday, two injuries, and he's questionable.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know. I smell a rat.
I almost moved Darrell Williams in a deal. I'm like, you know what? I think I might hold. I was hesitant because of the news that came out, but I probably should have. Probably could have safely flipped him because I think it will be Damian Williams. But
Listen, all of these running backs have value on that team.
Yeah,
unless you're in a really shallow league, just keep them rostered because they're all probably going to have value at some point.
Yeah, and then finally, the last thing I have on that is Monday night with the Browns at the 49ers. Look like Tevin Coleman might come back, and that just kind of messes things up from a fantasy perspective.
It's weird because his injury looked fairly significant. Like, I don't understand why you would bring him back on the early side with the rest of these guys playing well.
But you got three running backs, without him.
I barely have him ranked this week. I don't really buy it, but we'll just have to see what happens. By the same token, I did pull Breida down in my rankings.
Yeah. That makes sense. But it doesn't mean you have to go run out and play Coleman.
But I think it's really weird. Everybody's sort of running with this, they've got four running backs now. It's like, folks, they're not going to play four running backs.
No.
I mean, if Coleman's active, the first thing that's going to happen is Wilson is either going to be not even active or he's not going
to
play.
That's the guy who doesn't make sense to me.
Right, right away, you're to three. Yeah. I also I think Mostert as well probably becomes a very tiny role player.
Yeah.
And it becomes Breida Coleman.
I think you're right.
The assumption there is that Coleman's healthy and running like Tevin Coleman. If Coleman's running like an injured running back, the other guys are all good. Why would you even play him? So, I think this is a week to watch and learn.
I agree with you. All right, keep firing the texts in. I'm going to get to those, but I do want to hit the article that never was. Maybe it is. I'm keeping my eye on Twitter, see if at WEI will pop it up there. But getting into a little DFS, we got a lot of seasonal stuff we're going to get to. But the DFS stuff is interesting because oftentimes you want to kind of stay away from the Patriots just because you never know where the ball's going to go because it goes everywhere, right?
Bradford just posted.
Oh, he did. Attaboy, Brad Phelps.
Right, so while you're talking, I'll tweet this in my timeline.
There you go. So, but the article is it's DK specific for you know, for DraftKings today, and it's Pats specific, which is kind of fun.
Yay.
So yeah, it's good to talk Pats with DraftKings, and you know, the only thing you left out of here that I would definitely
well,
there,
you know, it's
the
funny.
Pats defense.
Oh, dude,
that's the 11
you
guys
just,
I
you
want.
You just stole my lead. Heck.
Sorry,
like,
man.
That was the whole lead up was for me to say that.
Sorry,
and
man.
You, I mean, like. This is why it's lame you don't call me before the show. Seriously.
It's
okay, you're right. It's funny. My whole thing I was going to say here is the one thing I left out of this article. I was actually sitting there. Do I type it at the end or do I leave it for the show? And I was going to say, basically, I was going to end the article with this line. If everything you just read sounds really stupid, there's a really good way to play that. Just play the Pats team.
Pay the 11 guys on the other side of the field. Yep.
You're like so dead on. I mean, I'm... You stole my thunder, but you're dead on.
Yeah.
This could be heavy. There's two ways to do this.
Heavy
there's
turnover two, game.
If you think the Patriots D is going to just go in there and create havoc with special teams and turnovers and all that stuff, and it's just going to be over before the offense can even, like, say, hey, we're here, then, yeah, just play the defense.
Yep.
If you think that there's a good chance that Brady can get it going early and post a bunch of throwing touchdowns before they have to sort of fold up the tents,
yep,
then you go with this stack option. Here's the reason I like the stack hack. The Patriots, obviously we know the Patriots. They scheme really well.
Yep.
And the thing about these three receivers, and this is backed up by, I'm not a big data guy, but if you go on the data sites, you will see data that says all of the Patriots receivers are getting separation well over and above typical separation, meaning Dorsett is open.
Yep.
Gordon is open. Edelman is open.
Edelman's
okay?
always open. Yep.
Now you have a defense that not only are they not covering people well, they're forgetting who to cover. Mm. Like, they're making mistakes. There's free runners every week against this defense.
It's just crazy because you don't have a tight end to cover. But, you know.
So here's the theory, okay? And I don't know if I articulated this well enough in the article or not. The theory is, you're not going to get to the stripe that much against this team because you're going to be throwing it into the end zone from the 20-yard line, the 15-yard line, and the 10.
Yeah.
They're going to give it up before you're not going to, it's not going to be like a game against a good defense where the Patriots methodically work the ball down the field and then eventually inside the 5 decide how they're going to score.
Right.
I think it's going to be more like big play, touchdown.
Yeah.
Big play, touchdown. Big play, touchdown. So the thing I couldn't figure out is how they're going to flow. Mm. Because to me, and tell me if you disagree, because the way I left it in the article is, if you have a feel that, like, Dorsett's going to go off.
That's the guy I'm leaning on.
Or Gordon's going to go off. Or you think it's just going to be an Edelman fest all day, then what you do is you take Brady with that one player, you stack him, and you put him in a, you know, in a tougher tournament, right?
Yep.
Maybe even something with mass entry or more entrance. My thing is, I can't predict which one of these guys is going to do it. I think they're all going to do it. So I would rather just play the whole stack.
Here's my instinct on it. They didn't do anything near what they wanted to do last week. And usually when that's the case, there's a get well game, which today like really is for the offense. I think you're going to see vintage Brady spraying it all over the place. So I think you kind of intuitively and instinctively hit it. I think you spray the infield because I think they're all going to get a little bit of love.
Right.
The big play, I think, comes from Dorsett.
Okay, so here's the thing. We need more than one big play.
Yeah.
Like, if this is going to work, there's at least two big plays, like one to Gordon, one to Dorsett, something like that. Or
I think there is.
I mean, the good thing about playing all three is we don't need all three to hit. The thing we don't want is the big play to go to White, right? Like, when I wrote the article, Burkhead was hopefully still going to play. Now with Burkhead out, we can put White in the mix.
Yeah, no, White's
we
got...
could.
Yeah.
But the problem is, the more players you throw in from the same offense, the more you're limiting your upside.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
I can definitely feel Pete. I can definitely see like a 35-yard run by White after a catch that's perfectly schemed and gone for a touchdown. That scenario exists in a big way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, White's interesting, right? Because he tends to go off more in games where they need him.
Yeah. He's clutch. You know? Yep.
This is a game where they can play with no running backs at all and win by 50 points. So it'll be interesting to see what's, you know, how they use White. And the other thing that's going to be interesting, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Damian Harris has been active, but he hasn't actually had a touch yet.
He hasn't. He had, I think he played one special teams snap, or if you can call that a snap. He was on a special teams. He might have gotten a snap on offense.
Yeah, no, I've got him
a couple weeks ago.
five snaps week three.
But he could be the sneaky. He could be the sneaky midway through the third quarter to the end of the game, run out the clock guy.
I'd be surprised if he doesn't have like 10 carries in this game.
Yeah, it could happen. All right, so I want to go a little bit deeper into that article. I want to hit the text at 37937. Lots of questions, and then we've got our lock of the week coming up after the break. Sports Radio WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Let's get back to Jim Hackett and Pete Davidson on the Fantasy Football Hour on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, welcome back. Sports Radio, WEEI, the Fantasy Football Hour. We got a lot into the news around the league in the first segment. Pete's article on the DraftKings plays for the Patriots and the Redskins, of which there are a plenty, and the texts are firing in. I logged them all down. So, whew, that was a workout, but I got there.
Yeah, the one thing I wouldn't do is do any kind of correlation Redskin play in this stack. Like, normally you put a stack in from one team, you put somebody in from the other side.
Right.
I wouldn't do that.
Bench your Redskins.
Oh, God, yeah.
I mean, in a big way. All right, let's get to our lock of the week, shall we? So it's time for the lock of the week, brought to you by Craftmaster Hardware, security hardware, and locksmith supplies for your business at craftmasterhardware.com. Pete, what do you got?
For lock of the week, interesting. I think definitely we need to go with a couple of these monster running backs. For me, Dalvin Cook, 8,400. Against the Giants, definitely is my lock of the week.
No brainer.
There we go, on the running back side. But he's not alone. I think David Johnson is another. And you can save $900 going from Cook to Johnson. My personal preference is to find a way to get both of them in there. Hint, hint, you can fit them in that Patriots stack, just in case you're wondering. Johnson, I think, is fun to talk about.
Well, David Johnson against the Bengals, that could be a feast mode. Not a beast mode, but a feast mode.
Right. Let's think of the dynamic here, right? First of all, $7,500 is a nice price for him this week. Second, this game is going to be fast-paced. You have two offensive coordinators who know each other, who have worked together in the past. They both come from that Rams kind of place, okay? And it's going to be a fast-paced thing. Both teams are going to be throwing the ball a lot. Let's look at the Arizona side. Kirk is out.
No Christian Kirk.
Right. They're playing a bunch of nobodies, and this team may, the Bengals may be all over Larry Fitzgerald. David Johnson may be more receiver than running back in this game. It wouldn't surprise me. This is a guy, like, if at the end of this game he had 17 carries and, you know, over 10 targets, that wouldn't surprise me.
Not at all.
So, you know, I love him in this game. If he happens to catch a few big plays, you know, I mean, he could go into the stratosphere in a game like this. I mean, it's there. It could happen. So I don't know how owned he's going to be, you know, for people who really care about ownership rates, but I'm all over David Johnson. And then also in that game, if you wanted to do a correlation within that game, I think David Johnson with Joe Mixon.
You just stole mine. The Mixon. I was just going to say, same script for the Bengals against Arizona, who don't play defense.
And you have the same paradigm is in place in terms of concentration, because the Bengals don't have anywhere to throw the ball. They're just out of bodies.
I've got one more lock too. There was a caller during the break. He said, "Should I play Brady or Cousins?" So my lock is certainly play Brady over Kirk Cousins.
Oh,
okay, there's my lock.
Well, our biggest fear with Brady is that he throws the amount of passes that we know Kirk Cousins is going to throw.
Right, so, like nine. Like,
yeah, there's no way I'm playing Cousins over Brady. Just no way.
Yeah.
And then on the other side, I think Julio Jones would be a lock when we go over to the receivers, and then Tyler Boyd, just from a standpoint of targets.
We talked about it, you know, no John Ross. So, I mean, you know, Boyd is a PPR monster anyway.
Right.
So his volume is obviously going to climb. I think that's a good one. Yep. And Julio.
Now, if we're going in terms of tournament play, where we're looking to try to harness some more upside, especially if you're playing Lamar Jackson, which I think is a reasonable thing to do.
Yep.
I think Hollywood Brown is a really good guy to go back to this week.
Yep.
Because he's had a couple down weeks in a row. People are going to be going away from him. He's reasonably priced. And, you know, when you look at this offense, where else are they going to throw the ball? And the tight end is banged up.
He's a big play guy, too.
Yeah. So I think it's worth the risk.
When he hits big. Yeah. All right, good locks there. Thank you to Craftmaster Hardware. Now, some texts. And the one I want to hit first, Pete, is this guy from 508. We definitely have a nervous listener. He's texted this like 72 times. So I'm going to...
He must be a regular.
I'm going to appease him. All right, so here we go. He's in a... And he's written the same text like 50 times, and he wrote standard PPR league. Well, which is it? You text me the same thing 72 times, and it's
a standard PPR league.
I think I'm going to say it's PPR.
1 point per reception?
Yeah. All right, he's got Shark, Edelman, and Sanders. And he has to pick two.
I'd say Edelman and Sanders, probably.
I think so. I mean, you get the Jaguars against the Panthers. I'm not, you know, it's kind of an ugly-looking game, two backup quarterbacks.
I mean, Shark definitely has a lot of ceiling to him. The thing about his matchup, off the top of my head, he's Carolina, right?
Yes.
I want to make sure I have that right. Yeah. Carolina tends to keep the play in front of them. So, you know, they're a team where you can accumulate receptions pretty easily, but big plays are tougher to come by. Mm. So for that reason, I think I would go with the other two.
Yeah, the only thing on Edelman is, and I kind of hit on it in an article I wrote early in the week, is I just, you know, health with him. Like I think he's hurting more than we think he is, but that's always kind of the case with him, and he's going to be able to get free enough this week against the Skins for sure. So just to kind of underscore your point, but that's the only trepidation I would have.
I mean, he's got a rib thing, right?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, but he doesn't have a cracked rib.
I don't know. He's a tough guy, man. I don't know.
Well, like, if he's playing with a cracked rib, that's stupid.
Yeah.
Especially against a team they can beat, you know, with the practice squad.
Yep.
But it sounded more to me like he's got like a rib cartilage thing, which is a pain management thing.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to know which one of those things it is. But look, if Edelman's on the field today in this game, I got to think he's not out there risking
what. Particularly with a Thursday night game coming up. So, you know, you don't need him if you can rest him. So if they're playing him, I think you can probably feel pretty good about
it. Edelman's active, but yeah. And then the other, with Sanders, he's playing well.
He is.
You know, I've watched all of their games, and, you know, he's out there running free and easy. The one thing you might worry about with Sanders is the number one corner, Hayward, who's he going to be on?
Mm. Probably him.
We've heard conflicting reports as to whether it'll be Sutton or Sanders. So you could get bad luck on that, I suppose.
The other thing, too, on that game is, like, you know, the Chargers tend to spit it up a little bit. Or they, like, leave people hanging around. The Broncos actually could be in position, you know, to win there. And usually when they win, Sanders plays well. So just as a little kind of nickel psychology there.
Yeah, I would go with the two veterans there.
Yeah. All right. So some good locks and some good answers. You want to get into some quarterbacks or should we hit some questions? What would you like to do?
Whatever you want.
QBs were on your mind. So,
well, quarterbacks, I mean, in terms of like who I want to play this week in DFS,
yep.
I mean, in tournaments, you know me, I always want the running quarterbacks.
Yep.
So I'm sort of focused on Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, and
Kyler Murray
this week as far as like tournament plays. In cash, I'm leaning towards Wentz just because I feel like, I mean, it's the Jets, man.
Yeah.
I mean, like, how can Wentz not light up the Jets? And I think Matt Ryan's compelling as well, just because he's had like three 300-yard games in a row.
Well, he's due, man.
He hasn't been since the opener. It hasn't been that bad. And at 5,900 with Julio against Billy O'Brien's defense, I think the Ryan Julio stack certainly is in play.
Yeah, I'm waiting for Ridley to break out a little bit for Atlanta. That's kind of like the missing piece. They keep integrating Mohamed Sanu, and it's like, you know, it's a fine receiver, but you've got Julio and Ridley, man. Those are the two I'm feeding, you know?
Well, just here's what I would say on that. I think the reason you're seeing the targets sort of flow that way is because the protection's been bad, so you hit the slot more frequently.
Yep.
So I think that's sort of the reason. So if they can keep Ryan, you know, upright just a little bit better, then I think you'll start seeing the deeper throws to Ridley.
Gotcha.
You know, his routes take 1 second longer to fully develop.
Yeah, no, makes sense. All right, let's hit some texts. There's a lot coming in. I want to help people out here.
The thing about Matty Ice, he doesn't extend the play all that well.
Yeah.
He's not Brady in the pocket.
No.
You know, we've talked about Brady a million times, how his subtle movements are really
perfect.
Top shelf.
Yep.
You know, Ryan's more average in that regard.
No doubt. All right, here's from 207. Morning from Maine. PPR League. Play two. Edelman, Hollywood, Amari Cooper, Alshon. Good options.
Well, definitely play Amari. Give me the other ones just real quick.
Alshon, Edelman, and Hollywood.
I'd play Edelman.
It's PPR, yeah. Edelman and Cooper.
Yeah,
that feels about right. And if you can
have them both as one receiver.
Yeah, so if you can flex in the other guys, I would maybe, you know, try to do
well,
that.
Sure, so. But
Let's see, 617, Rodgers or Jameis Winston?
That's
a close one.
Yeah, that is close. Where are you at with that, Jim?
Well, you got Rodgers going against the Cowboys.
And, I would go Jameis.
Yeah.
But it's
well, Winston's coming. That's a tough. Winston's coming off a monster game, which could go. Which
you say it like it's a bad thing.
Well, that's my problem with Winston. Like I'm hoping that it leads to some momentum. I just never
audience,
know with him.
Jim just traded for Jameis Winston, so right now his psychology is getting inside his head a little bit.
All right, so then you take this one.
Yeah, you're tilting because you just dealt for the guy. I would play Winston. The matchup isn't great, but neither is Rodgers. And the difference here is, you know, Green Bay seems to want to suck clock, whereas Bruce Arians seems to want to let the ball fly.
So. No Devontae Adams for Rodgers either, so
correct.
Remember that. You
correct.
Know, that's important to note.
Right, right. Rodgers is without Adams. Winston's without Perryman.
Yep.
So, yeah, I think I'd go Winston here.
All right, Winston.
The volume is on your side.
Good. I feel better. 978. I didn't text that, by the way. 978. Calvin Ridley or
we're not playing each other, are we?
No, we're not. We had a monster game a couple weeks ago. I came out with the short end, but it was a juggernaut. 978, Calvin Ridley or Philip Dorsett. That's actually closer than you'd think.
Yeah, I'd go Ridley.
We were just talking about that. Like I'm waiting for him to break out, but you know, Calvin there, 508 standard, you can pick two.
The thing about Ridley is he's going to be in a game where the other team is scoring points.
So they're going to have to be throwing.
Right.
Yeah.
So, like, let's put it this way. Say both of them are scoreless at the half. Who would you rather have?
Oh, I'd rather have Ridley.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure.
So we know the game flow is going to go against Dorsett. So as the game goes on, it's going to be tougher for him to score points.
Yeah.
So I think I'd just rather go Ridley there.
That could be a point monster game, Falcons-Texans.
Right.
Really,
well, that's what I'm saying.
All right. 508, standard scoring, pick two. Good
if
options
Washington
here.
Was good, we'd be having a different conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry.
That's okay. 508, standard pick two. He's got Diggs, DeMarcus Robinson, Mike Williams in the 4 o'clock, Auden Tate on Cincinnati going against the Cardinals, or Darrell Williams on Sunday Night Football going against Indy, which I would stay away from Darrell because I think it's going to be a Damian show.
Yeah, I would say the first two.
DeMarcus and Diggs. It's standard scoring. Look, if they finally feed Diggs, he's going to take one and break one. So that's kind of attractive
there. I would go with
there.
The first two. I mean, those are all, you know, strong flex level plays.
Yep. Let's see. 857 half point PPR. Will Fuller, Tyrell Williams, or Golden Tate? Oh, man, that's Fuller all day. I'm waiting for the breakout, and it's coming today. Fuller.
I don't like the matchup for Fuller. Again, that team tends to keep the play in front of them. Actually, no, I'm sorry. Bad matchup. My bad. Well, same kind of thing, actually. But, yeah, I think I'm with you. I don't feel as strongly as you do, but I think I'm with you. I'm with Fuller.
I don't like Tyrell Williams against the Bears.
Well, Williams is banged up. He's not even a lock to play.
Right.
So, in that sense, definitely Fuller.
And Golden Tate, it's his first game back with a rookie quarterback.
Against the Redskins.
Yeah.
Excuse me, against the Vikings.
Yeah, so I would stay away from that. So I think that feels like an easy one. Go with Will Fuller. And then 508 has PPR question as well. Two receivers. This has to play two here. Between Austin Hooper, Juju, and MVS? That's obviously a flex question. Austin Hooper at tight end, Juju. Well,
definitely Juju as long as he plays.
I'm thinking MVS there.
Juju's a 1 o'clock game. Definitely play Juju, and then I would say Hooper for floor, MVS for ceiling.
Yeah, and MVS, look at no Devontae Adams today, so I feel like he'll be at a minimum highly targeted. You know, he needs to get open.
Yeah, I'd probably go with MVS, the aggressive play.
Yeah.
But we don't want to just, like, throw Hooper out just because he has been playing really well and the targets have been there. So,
and just while the floor-ceiling conversation hit, 508 PPR, here's a question. This guy needs a home run. So to kind of make the makeup of what you're going up against is important. Like, and for that guy with Hooper, if you need the floor, he's the play. But here's a guy who needs a home run. So his question is, in PPR, do I play – I'm guessing that's Golden Tate. Might be Auden Tate. Jalen Samuels, Golden Tate, or Auden Tate. It's not clear there. And then
Samuels.
And Hardman.
Anyone's ceiling?
Yeah. He says need a home run. Hardman's kind of interesting there.
I would still play Samuels. Your home run will be if Connor ends up not being able to really go very hard.
Yeah.
Connor, remember, didn't practice all week until Friday.
And Samuels looked great on Monday night.
Right,
so.
And they both played about half the snaps. So I would go with Samuels, and look, it's a thin line for upside either way. Hardman's line for upside is thin. Now, he could hit a couple big
ones. Just take one and break one, yeah.
Right. But to me, the odds on Samuels getting a couple touchdowns is similar. And, you know, it's conceivable he ends up becoming the lead back in this game. So.
It's interesting having seen him in the Wildcat formation. That just opens up different opportunity, too. So I think you're probably leaning right there with Jalen Samuels.
Yeah, I would go Samuels. It's a tough call, though.
All right, lightning round coming up. Sports Radio, WEEI.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Back to the Fantasy Football Hour. Here's Jim Hackett and Pete Davidson on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, welcome back. Sports Radio WEEI, the Fantasy Football Hour. The lightning round commences for the final segment. Lots of text to get to, my friend. So let's hit them. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm sitting here looking at my Cream albums.
Yeah, Ginger Baker. That was sad.
Yeah, rest in peace, Ginger Baker. Yep. I'm trying to figure out which Cream song I want to do as the intro to the DFS pod.
I think we'll let our venerable producers, Nick and Bridget, pick some Cream as we exit out. But let's hit the text here. So 978, PPR, Chubb or Aaron Jones? You're going Chubb there, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, all day.
Both really good plays, but Chubb.
Yeah, but if you got Chubb, you're playing him. 508, James White or Jordan Howard coming off a big game?
Tough call.
That is a tough call.
I would
call.
Go with Jordan Howard. I think he's a really good chance he scores twice against the Jets.
Smashing against the Jets. I agree.
You're
with
basically
that.
Playing the against the Jets guy.
Let's see. Will Fuller, 857 asks, Will Fuller or Golden Tate? Will Fuller.
Know. Well, it depends on the scoring. If it's PPR, you could make an argument for Tate catching five balls and taking the floor.
That's true.
I agree with you, Jim, because I think the upside merits going after Fuller, but I do think there's sort of a decision to sort of look at there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, if you've got standard, it's Fuller, right. And if you've got PPR, you have a decision.
Yeah, I think I would probably go Fuller in PPR too, but if for some reason the person was trying to pick up floor instead of ceiling, then you could make an argument for
that. All right, here's from our Bridget, our producer, sent us one here. So it's an interesting one. 617 for Flex. She's got DJ Shark, Will Fuller, Duke Johnson, or Melvin Gordon. I told her to go Melvin.
I would go Melvin, too. Yeah. It's a little bit dicey because, I mean, who knows? Maybe they could, 10-touch him or something. I don't think they will, though. I would go with Melvin.
All right. 617, I need your help. I'm in a standard PPR. It's with the standard PPR. I'm assuming that's PPR. Assuming both are going to play, who would you play at the flex, T.Y. Hilton or Carlos Hyde? I'm playing Hilton.
I think standard PPR means not 0.5 PPR.
Right.
So, sorry, go ahead with the players.
It was T.Y. Hilton on Sunday Night Football or Carlos Hyde. I'm going Hilton.
Yeah, I'd go Hilton, too. And remember, whoever sent that, you should have options if they rule Hilton out. You should be able to pick up a guy like Pascal.
508, we have a nervous texter.
Who I would play over Hyde.
Yes. Yeah, so if you have the roster.
Just so you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, we talked about that in the beginning. Yeah. So if you can roster someone to protect Hilton. But Hilton is expected. So right. And when it comes for Sunday Night Football so early, I think you get a good shot of getting Hilton there. We have a 508 nervous texter. Nervous to start Le'Veon Bell without Darnold. Do I dare start Hyde instead of Bell? You play Bell.
No.
Yeah.
Play Bell.
Let's see. 3-2-1. Calvin Ridley, Emmanuel Sanders, or John Brown in standard?
In standard?
Yeah.
Whew, that is close.
It is close. Brown's the big play guy there.
Give me the three names again.
Calvin Ridley. So Ridley's...
I have Ridley at 24, Brown at 25. Who's the other guy?
Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah, and I have Sanders pretty much right in that same projection zone. In standard, I think I'm
going
to go Brown.
I'm going John Brown. Yeah, that's where I was going.
Man, it's close, though.
774, PPR flex. Mike Williams, the Duke, AP, or Delanie Walker?
I think I'd go Delanie.
Yeah.
By the way, good job on the Cream, guys.
Yeah, Delanie against the Bills. I'm thinking Mike Williams maybe, too. That's a tough one.
Give me those again, Jim.
Mike Williams, Duke Johnson, AP, or Delanie. But for me, it's between Delanie and Mike Williams.
It's PPR?
Yeah, PPR.
I'd go Delanie just because Williams, we don't even really know if he's anything but a decoy right now.
207, PPR, Sony Michel or Jordan Howard? He's got James White in the flex.
Oh, then I would go Jordan Howard.
Yeah, Jordan Howard. He actually caught a few balls last
time.
Right.
Unless you really want to play floor, and you could go White.
All right.
Show.
Couple quick ones. 508, Bell, Henry, or Shady in PPR?
Henry.
508, Ebron or the latest and greatest, Dawson Knox, half-point PPR?
I'd go the Pryor.
You go Ebron?
Yeah.
Let's see.
Remember, that's the Chiefs. So.
Yep. Trying to look for a couple quickies. 828, Josh Jacobs or Matt Breida playing on Monday night? I'm Jacobs.
Oh, boy, that's brutal. Jacobs, but it's
He's going
close.
Against the Bears, yeah. Mm.
You're basically buying the touches.
Yeah.
You know, you're buying 17 to 20 touches versus 12 to 15. It's close.
I'm going Jacobs.
Me too, but it's close.
All right, last one. 339, a flex, Philip Dorsett or Philip Lindsay versus the Chargers?
Lindsay.
All right, so if we missed you, hit Pete up at Rotobon. You can hit me up at WEI Hacksaw on Twitter. We'll answer as many as we can. Good luck, everybody.
This Monday at 7, it's Boomer Esiason on the Greg Hill Show. Brought to you in part by DCU. Proud supporters of the Boomer Esiason Foundation and Vertex Pharmaceuticals. Helping Team Boomer provide tools for those with cystic fibrosis.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.